and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today I'm deeply honored to have in the studio with me Annette Gomez, a Barbadian, an author, a journalist, a wife, and so many other things. Welcome to Visions, Annette.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So, Annette, tell me a little about yourself. You're Barbadian born, but migrated to the USA. So share a little about yourself.
Absolutely. Barbados was everything to me. And I will tell you, I cried all the way to the tarmac when I had to leave in 1972. But that is my desire to be in television was born. I was there about a month ago and actually went back to the area in St. George where I spent most of my time. I went into the house where I remember seeing the television set and thinking, this is the spot where I would peer into the television and go, I don't know how those little people got in that box, but I want to be a part of it. So Barbados was everything to me, but my parents felt like there was more opportunity in the U.S. So my brother and I left in, I think, the spring of 1972. Yes. Barbados will always be home to me.
Right. So share a little about what it was like growing up in the U.S. versus your memories of your early years in Barbados.
I think that it was a little difficult at first because the area where I was in Illinois was 90% Jewish, so nobody really looked like me. I didn't get my first African-American friend until 1974, and she's still my best friend to this day. So a little bit of difficulty, but I think I thrive on challenges because instead of looking at the situation as a challenge, I was like, oh, and I'm let me figure out how to formulate my words. It wasn't that I couldn't do what they were doing. I just had to figure out how they got it. And I think that was looking at education. And we'll get into a little bit later because one of the reasons I wrote the first children's book is because my partner, he did not see any veterinarians that looked like him growing up. And that was going to be a negative thing for him, as opposed to me who said, wait a minute, I just got to figure out how you guys got all this stuff. And we both ended up doing what we wanted to do or wanted to love. So I will also say that in Barbados, there was such a community of love. That's all I remember. When I went back last month.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember everybody telling me last month, oh, Annette, I used to change your diaper. Oh, Annette, I used to buy you dresses. So it was such a community of love. Not that I didn't have it in the U.S., but that's why I didn't want to leave.
Okay, cool. So, Annette, you then journeyed into the field of journalism. And again, as an Afro-American, what was that experience like for you?
That was purely accidental. I majored in agriculture in the U.S., in the area where I grew up. Everybody's father was a stockbroker. And I had a difficult time in economics, but I worked really hard. And my instructor let me go to the Chicago Board of Trade, where you exchange commodities, not so much stocks, but commodities, wheat, corn. And I thought, oh, I want to do this. But when we went to what's called the pit, where they trade the commodities, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And they didn't look, let's just say they looked a little unhealthy. Perhaps they had been drinking. So I said, oh, well, this is not for me. But I ended up going to a historically Black college. And when I got there, everybody, the new thing was to major in agriculture. And so I did ag economics. Fast forward, I worked for USDA. And then I was doing an interview on the radio and an English professor called and said, I don't know who that is, but she needs to go into communications. My professor, who was from Malawi at the time and boss actually, said, if you don't go to school, I'm going to fire you. I'm so sick of people asking me about you and your interview skills and your style and your voice. And so he drove me to University of Missouri It still took me 2 years to do it because I was much older. I was late 20s, early 30s. I was like, I'm not going to change fields. I'm too old. And he said, if you don't do it, I'm going to fire you. So I ended up going to University of Missouri for 2.5 years. They waived all my ag classes and let me major in journalism. And I picked the broadcast sequence. So I was on air reporter and anchor off and on for like 15 years. So that's how I ended up in journalism.
Mm-hmm. And did you enjoy it?
I did. That's my sweet spot. It comes natural to me. And I think, again, remember, I told God I want to be in television. I just picked a different kind of route to get there. So heart's desire, I suppose.
Right. Okay. So now let's jump forward a little, because off air when we talked, you shared with me as well that you were part of a team selected by the previous U.S. President Obama. Tell us about that and what was involved.
Oh, no, that's not me. I wish that's not me.
Oops, cut that out. Okay, so Annette, let's jump forward a little to your books. You have written 3 children's books. And tell us what led you into writing these books.
I was working as a Spiro. I was in between jobs, and a friend of mine called and said, you would love this job. It was a writer for the Department of Defense. And what I wrote about was wounded, ill, and injured soldiers. And I loved it. What you all see now, I think you just saw Prince Harry in it at Invictus, because they would do the domestic games with these soldiers who had one arm, one leg. And then Prince Harry, I think, saw us and decided to make it international. So he did the Invictus part of it, if that's what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm. Right. So continue and tell us more about the writing for the defense.
Yes. Oh, my God. Ideli, I cannot think of a better job that I've ever had in my life. Again, it's about resilience. Mm-hmm. It's about these people playing sitting volleyball because they have no legs, or wheelchair tennis. And it was my sweet spot, because every time somebody sits down next to me, they tell me their whole life story. I guess you could call it a gift. And so it just came natural to me. But we would spend about 3-4 months on these games, talking to these soldiers. So it was just absolute heaven. I still keep in touch with them on Facebook. I know all their children. Now some of them have grandchildren, and where they are in their lives. So that was just the best part of that job. But I no longer do that. But I did that for about 4 years.
Okay. And do you think that it changed your perception of persons with disabilities in any way?
I think it heightened my awareness more, because you all are well aware of my nephew, Christopher Jilks. Chris has this attitude, no, I can do attitude with everything. And I think my mind was limited in what I was seeing. But, I would say, what are you talking about? Seated volleyball? Like I said, wheelchair tennis. So, yes, I think it did change my perception a little bit. But my mother did a lot of social work. She worked for an organization called the Association for Retarded Citizens. And that's what she dealt with. So funny that I would end up in the same field, so to speak.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So would you say that having Christopher as your nephew and then working with the U.S. defense, working with the veterans, wounded veterans, along with the fact that both you and your husband grew up in an area where persons like your skin color were not involved involved in specific professions led you to writing these children's books?
What led me to writing the book was the first book was about dreams, making dreams come true. The second book, I happened to be sitting at home one day thinking, okay, well, what's part two going to be like? And I said, what's going on in your life? My husband and I had a three-legged dog. And everybody wanted me to put that dog down, including the previous owner. And I refused. So I was a little melancholy one day because we had just put her down. My husband adored that dog. Then I started getting Facebook messages because it was time for, as I call them, my kids to go to the games again. So I was getting a little melancholy about that. And then Chris called one day, and of course, he always perked up my spirit. So I sat back on the bed and I thought, let me put this all together. And so, yes, to answer your question, because it all culminated in all three of those facets have resilience. What do you do with a child who has a pet that may have three legs? It's very prevalent here in the U.S. And the animals do very well. Some of them have wheelchairs for their back legs. Our dog did not. Bailey ran and jumped and did everything that a dog with four legs could do. So I would say absolutely. And then, of course, you know, Chris, he'll be like, oh, Auntie, I'll call you back. I've got to go to dance practice. And I'm like, dance practice? What is he talking about? But he dances in a wheelchair. So all of those ideas came together to help me write. We look different, but we're all the same.
Okay, so Annette, tell us a little about your first book, Dreams. What message do you want our children to get and adults to get from this book? Because I know it's about really encouraging persons to have goals, dreams, and go after them.
Yes. Quick story. So Dr. Ferguson, I used to volunteer at his clinic, and then I ended up working for him 1 year. We would take that same dog into classrooms. Of course, it's a conversation piece because she has three legs. So a little girl, beautiful little girl, looked up at Dr. Ferguson and said, why did you want to be a critter fixer? And he said, well, that's the name of my practice, but the real name is veterinarian. I wanted to be one since the age of seven, and my mom made me spell it every single day. And as a reporter, you're always in tune to stories. So I looked up at him and I said, oh my God, that's a story. And thereafter, Yodelia, he was like, would you please make me, I don't want to keep telling that story. Why do you keep making me tell that story? And I was like, because I'm one of those kids that was impacted. I am one of those dreamers. And if this generation believes that they can do anything, they will. They're a little different from our generation. And so I went back to his office and I wrote it and I stuck it on a thumb drive and forgot all about it because he wasn't all that enthused at the time. I got a job in DC 10 years ago and moved. I get this call. Actually, excuse me, I was at a graduation from his alma mater, veterinary school, and the girls are all talking about lights, camera, action. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I thought they were talking about a pet corner segment that I helped develop before I left Georgia. And they said, no, Doc has this television show on Animal Planet. I said, what? And before they could finish the sentence, he called me. He said, Annette, what did you do with that book? And I said, oh, it's on a thumb drive. He said, well, you need to pull it out because now we've got this show and I'm thinking about marketing the book. So that's where it all came to be. So it talks about his dreams and then we added my dreams. And at the back of the book is a note to self for him and a note to self, because we wanted kids to know whatever your mind dreams up, you can become. You just have to work really hard. I wanted to be in television. He wanted to be a vet. Both of us, our dreams came true. So at the back of the book, there's a space for little Udelis, who says, puts her name at the back of the book and she writes down what her dreams are, and she'll have that book forever so she can look back on it and know that whatever she dreamed up in her mind, she could become.
Fabulous, fabulous. And your other book, Critic Fixer, more recently published, tell us about that one.
So that is about a little boy finding a dog and the dog's leg is broken beyond repair. And when as an adult, I remember when Bailey had the accident, and I looked up at Doc and I said, oh, well, you can mend it, right? And he said, no, and that all the ligaments are torn. And so now this little boy is caught between, oh, you're going to put a Band-Aid on it? And he's like, no. So I wanted to teach children, okay, there was a problem. We cannot fix the leg, but this is the best that we can do. So, but, and the little boy says, well, he's going to have a really tough life. No, he's not. He's going to jump and run and do everything that all the other dogs do, just like my Bailey. So that's what this book is about. Teaching children that, you know, you might look a little different. You might be in a wheelchair, but you can do and have, you know, with some limitation. Obviously, cannot play soccer, although I'm sure they're going to come up with a way to do that soon. And just enjoy a well-balanced life, even though you look a little different. So that's what this book was about. And I thought about Chris the whole time when I was writing it, because he does do everything. He had, if it didn't rain last night, he would have been at dance practice.
Right, yes. And I think as you speak about your nephew, Christopher Gilles, many Barbadians are very familiar with him and that go-get type of spirit and attitude, being involved in so many activities and just striving to achieve. And I think your two books, Dreams and Critic Fixer, certainly will encourage many persons, both young and old, to, again, pursue their goals, pursue their dreams, and just develop that attitude. Let's do it. Let's do it. Yes.
Yes. Yes. There's always a way. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be difficult. There's days where I struggle with stuff, but you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and everything else will come together.
Yes, because you are a living example of how dreams can come true. And I think this is so essential to understand that, yes, we set our dreams, but Annette, tell us now how you believe you were able to achieve those goals, because having a dream and then pursuing it means that you have to be dedicated and committed to making it a reality. So you would have gone to study, you would have sought employment, and I'm sure that all of this was not as easy as you make it sound, but there would have been some challenges as well. How were you able to overcome those challenges?
For one thing, I hold on to the fact that it is a gift. I will tell you a very quick story. I think I told you I met my best friend. This is how I met my best friend. I went to the bathroom for the 10th time that day in second grade. I'm always going to the bathroom to get out of class. And her parents came in my building to register her for school. And all I remember is this very tall, attractive woman asking me how to get to the principal's office. And she says to me, oh, you'd make a great friend for my daughter. Where do you live? We ended up living 5 minutes from each other. She was a journalist in Chicago working with Tom Joyner. I don't know if you all are aware of Tom Joyner. He was a big radio personality here. He just retired about 2 years ago. So you see how things start to shape and form. Everything just starts to fit together. So here I am being mentored by her all these years. And I really didn't touch it for another 15 years. But everything just seems to come together. That same teacher that let me go to the bathroom, I still talk to. She's my second grade teacher. When we finished the first book, I sent her one. And she said, oh, Annette, I remember you. I remember you being so curious. I used to beg her, teach me how to write cursive. So the other part of that is I try to make sure I surround myself with people that understand me. It's not always easy, but want the same things that I do. So mentors were very important to me. And then, you know, I leave middle grades. I've still got my auntie, my best friend's mom. I go to a school who really didn't talk to me about communications. I had one professor talk to me about it. But the bottom line is I always surround myself with people. I have mentors and I contract my voice out. I have my own voiceover company. So it's interesting when I get in those circles, that's a whole nother avenue for me because again, I'm around like-minded people. So the voiceover has been wonderful. You can call us a little nerdy or the theater kids, or the creative beings, but I think it's important to surround yourself with people that understand. Because some of the same people that made fun of me with an accent now were like, oh my God, how do you do this? How do you do that? So I think that's really important. And like I said, Udelia, I have tough days too. Some days I want to give up, but there's always a message that says, keep going, just keep going. Because if it's your dream, if it's your gift, who can be against you if God's for you?
I certainly agree with that statement. And recently you were back in Barbados with your book, Cricket Fixer.
Yeah.
So tell us what the experience was like being here and distributing the book and, you know, moving around with Christopher. What was that like?
Surreal. Very surreal. Because like I said, before I did the interview on CBC, I'm just thinking about that little girl running up Superlative, watching that TV, trying to figure out how the little people got in the television. So I think it was really emotional, and I kind of lost a little bit. I think they cut away from me because I had started to cry. Because again, I used to dream about that. I didn't know what that, it's a television set, but I didn't have a word for it. Or the people inside of the television, actresses and actors. I recently saw, there was a show called Nanny and the Professor that used to play in Barbados. And Dark Shadows, mm-hmm. Udelia. I don't know if you're, I think mm-hmm. I'm a little bit older than you. But yes, my brother and I
remember those.
Barnabas Collins.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, that same aunt had her, the television show that she worked for in Atlanta, Georgia, Jonathan Frid is his name, and he was on, and she called me one day. I think she got me his autograph. But I just remember watching those shows as a child trying to figure out, okay, how did they get in the box? So it was very surreal for me because this is what I dreamed about. And then to be interviewed by Wendy at CBC, Good Morning Barbados, I'm just sitting there. I don't even know if I answered her questions because I was in such a daze. And then top it all off, Udelia, the same individual that called me to book the gig, her name is Annette, and she grew up in St. George, and we both ended up in television. So how ironic is that? She goes by Barbara, but her real name is Annette. And so we talked about her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So surreal is the best.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Annette, you definitely need to write your own autobiography. Your own biography.
Honey, it's going to take a
I think you have a lot to share.
Well, I appreciate you. I started it. I started to write it because the last thing I will share with you is my grandfather died. I used to play in his hair. And he died up Superlative Road. His hair looked like cotton. And I just remember him telling me how amazing I was and I could do anything. And then he fell asleep. He never woke up. So I think that was 1972. So I started writing it. I only got like 3 pages and it's in a chest in my basement. So maybe one day I'll pull it back out.
Okay. So Annette, as we begin to wrap up the program, share with us, tell us your thoughts as we get ready to wrap up the program, Annette. It really has been fabulous talking with you and learning about your thrilling days in the U.S. and how you're able to twin your days in Barbados and make it work for you. Let that be your propeller into journalism, into agriculture, into voiceovers, and so much more that you're doing. What and how would you encourage Barbadians and especially individuals with disabilities to go after their goals?
I think I would start by, I'm a big journaler. I write things down. So I would start by just declaring what you want. That's the first step. I would pray about it and I would ask God to send me people who have the same, who are like-minded in what I want. And you'd be surprised how the universe will open up for you and direct you in those paths. That's about as simple as I can make it. But okay. I think Yeah.
Sorry, I crossed you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, it will all come together. I promise you. I'm promise you, I am living witness.
You
Living.
know, we've talked the whole time, and I haven't asked you, are you an avid reader?
Voracious. Voracious. My basement. There is a store here called IKEA, and they make great big bookshelves. And my husband always says, first of all, did you read all of them? Second of all, how many book more cases do I need to get? You cannot take my books. You have to sign a piece of paper, and then you have to give it back to me at a certain date. I am a voracious because my parents, when we got to the US, I think they thought we were going to be behind because my grandparents spoiled us. I think they played with us more than anything. So they would make us stand up and read every night. So to answer your question, I am a voracious reader.
I love.
Voracious.
Well, we have something in common because I love
Yes.
to read.
Yes.
Great. Well, it
And
really
we're a
has
March
been.
baby.
Sorry, go say that again.
And I said, oh, we're March babies. I believe you're a March baby too.
Oh, yes, definitely. So we'll be celebrating.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
I've
ma'am.
just started my new year, March 1st.
Yes, ma'am.
So
Best.
until February 28th, I'll be celebrating and enjoying the fullness of the year.
Yes, ma'am.
And I believe you'll do the same.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, it really has been fantastic talking with you. And where can we access your books? Where can we purchase your books?
Oh, that's the $4 million question. We are actively trying to figure it out because Amazon does not ship to Barbados. So my husband and I might have to make a couple trips. So Chris and I are trying to work out the details. We have a wonderful website that you can go to. It's called Dream Out Loud Media LLC.com. But again, over the next 3 to 4 months, Chris and I are going to try to figure it out. So I guess that means I'll just have to fly back. Oh my God, that's so difficult. Hardship for
Well,
me, just hardship.
I believe that these books are excellent gifts for birthdays, weddings, wedding anniversaries, you name it, it's just a good gift to give someone. You don't even have to have an occasion, just give a good book.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Well, thank you very much for talking with me today, Annette, and I look forward to seeing you when you come back to Barbados, when you come back
Absolutely.
home.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so
Okay.
much.
Yes. You have been listening to Visions. Well, thank you too. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham-Ashby, and my very special guest, Annette Gomez. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com, and you can listen to this and past episodes of Visions by going to the VOB92.com website. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.